A short note. I call to your attention that our worship order this morning is from the 1662 Book of Common Prayer, so keep a close eye on your bulletin. Let us kneel and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God spake these words and said, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have none other gods but me. Thou shalt not make to thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor worship them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and visit the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shew mercy unto thousands in them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all that thou hast to do, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou and thy son and thy daughter, thy manservant and thy maidservant, thy cattle and the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his servant, nor his maid, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his. Grant, O Lord, we beseech thee, that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by thy governance, that thy church may joyfully serve thee in all godly quietness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated for the lesson.
The Old Testament lesson is written in the second chapter of Ezekiel, beginning at the first verse. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Here endeth the lesson.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 6th chapter of Mark, beginning at the first verse. And Jesus went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended with him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty works, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shodden with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said to them, in what place soever you enter into a house, that abide there until you depart from that place. And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed them with oil, many that were sick, and healed them.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Jesus has been baptized, has gone into the desert and been tempted, and has emerged clear about what God is calling him to do. He knows that God is calling him to bring this radical good news to the people. He knows that his words are going to transform the people that hear him. So, of course, the first place he goes with this amazing news is home. I'm sure he couldn't wait to tell the people of his own country, the people of his own town, the people of Nazareth. If you had life-changing, amazing news about God, who would you share it with first? I'd call my people. And that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to go home and first tell the people that he loved, the ones that he had known all of his life. He wanted to go home. So Jesus goes to Nazareth, And on the Sabbath day, he stands up in the synagogue and he reads the scripture and he begins to teach. And he totally fails. No one hears a word that he says. I think we forget that sometime, the importance of the fact that the first time Jesus tried to do his ministry, it didn't work. He fell flat on his face, really. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that the people of Nazareth tried to kill him. They tried to take him out and push him off a cliff. I'd say things didn't go that well. Which is really important, because I don't know why, but most of us who try to follow Jesus, we assume that if we do God's will, people will respond, people will come, we'll be successful. So it's really important to remember that the very first time Jesus brought the good news to people, he was a total failure. Which means just because you fail doesn't mean that you're not doing God's work. Let me say that again. Just because you fail doesn't mean you're not doing God's work. Success is not always a sign of God's favor. And why? Why did Jesus fail when so many other people could hear him? Jesus himself is shocked. You can tell he's terribly hurt that his people, that they can't hear him. But Mark is very clear about why they can't hear him. They think that they know Jesus. They're saying to themselves, isn't that Joseph's son? Isn't he? I know his brother. I know his sisters. I watched him learn to walk. I watched him get water out of the well. I watched him help his father in the carpenter shop. That's just Jesus. I know him. I already know everything he has to say. We do that, you know. We don't listen to the people who are closest to us because we think that we know who they are. Especially our family, our spouses will say, oh, you know, they're saying that again. They're doing that again. Oh, I know them. We shut our hearts, ironically, most to the people that we love the most. These people couldn't hear Jesus because they were too comfortable with him. They couldn't open their ears. They were certain of their knowledge. They were unwilling to consider something new about him. And they missed out on the best thing that was offered to them in their entire lives. Sometimes it's the people who are right in front of us that we close our hearts to, and sometimes it's the things that are right around us that we take advantage of. Our home, our families, our country. Did you all hear in the news this past week there was a lockdown at the Navy Yard because they thought there was a shooter there? Do you remember that? I think it was Wednesday morning. Well, I got a call early in the morning because my son Luke was at the Navy Yard. He was going there to work out every morning before doing an internship on Capitol Hill. So I get a call from my husband saying, turn on the news, there's a shooter at the Navy Yard. Now, luckily, Luke had left just 5 minutes before the whole lockdown, and he was fine. But it startled me. It made me frightened, not just for my son, but for this whole country. There are people that don't want us to be free. And we take advantage of our freedom. I think it's because we breathe it. We swim in it. It's all that we know, and we forget. We forget what a gift we've been given in this country. We can say what we think, even if it sounds ridiculous. We're free to make fools of ourselves, thanks be to God. We don't have to be frightened. 75 children were executed in Iraq this week because they weren't fasting correctly. Some of them were crucified because they weren't behaving in the right way. I just spent 2 weeks almost at the General Convention of the Episcopal Church, which is our once every 3 years we gather as a national body, an elected body, and the same guys who wrote the government of the United States of America, a lot of them were Episcopalian. So we're a bicameral, two-house legislative system, and we pray and we worship and we argue and fight and vote. But nobody hits each other. You know, back on the early days in the House of Representatives, they used to punch each other. Did you remember reading about that in your history books? Well, we didn't do that, so that was good. But we were free to talk about what mattered to us and to vote. And I feel so blessed to be part of a church that does that. But if you're really going to experience freedom and democracy, you can't be like the people of Nazareth. You can't close your mind and you can't close your heart, because democracy and real freedom involves the risk that you might actually be convinced by someone else. The risk that you might be wrong. I had to watch when I argued for something and it was voted down. And I had to accept that maybe the body knows more than I know. That maybe there's more for me to learn. If we're really going to be free, we have to be free to listen to ideas that may seem scary to us. When Jesus left Nazareth, he was so shocked, and he says that he marvels at their unbelief. At their unbelief. And I thought this week, I thought, what is unbelief? I don't think it's when you don't believe in anything. I think unbelief is when you shut your mind down, when you assume that there's nothing more for you to learn about God or about humanity or other people. Unbelief is when your heart shuts down. People of Nazareth couldn't hear Jesus because they weren't willing to listen. And if we're willing to follow him, we must be willing to listen to God. What is God doing now? Who is God calling us to be as a church now? How could Christ be moving in our lives right now? Let us never forget to give thanks for the gift of freedom. We learn so much when we disagree. I know it's hard. I know it would be much easier to go to a church where everybody thought the same thing, wouldn't it? But what would we learn? We would get so comfortable that we would stop listening to one another. Disagreement, conflict, arguing, these are gifts from God. These are how we learn. This is part of the gift of freedom. And I, for one, I'm so thankful to live here in this country and in this church. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Isn't this fun? They would have worn stuff like this in 1776. Oh, but I wouldn't be up here at all. Sorry.
You're kidding.
If you haven't read it yet, I hope that you will read Joe O'Shield's article, which is in your bulletin jacket, about what worship was like at the time of the American Revolution. It's a wonderful article, and Joe is a great historian on Episcopal Church history. If you have more questions, we'd love to study more about it. It was a lot lower church. They wouldn't have had a choir, no candles. And actually, to be kind to you, I cut the liturgy back a bit. It was really long. But I thought that you Americans with your fast-paced brains could only handle so much. Don't forget that on Sundays, we have breakfast in Tolliver Hall at 9 o'clock, and messy church continues. It's a lot of fun. Last week, they made paper airplanes and shot them off the balconies in Tolliver Hall. Had a great time. The men's grill and chill is tomorrow at 6 o'clock in Tolliver Hall. Also, don't forget that we have implemented a shepherding system. Every single one of you should have a shepherd. And you can look up your shepherd in your bulletin jacket, put their number in your address book, so if you need something, you can call your shepherd, okay? We want to make sure that this community takes care of each other. It's really important. I hope you're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. It's July 20th to the 24th for children from pre-K through fourth grade. You can register right now, and you can pick up a form up the back of the church and return it to the office. We have a beautiful Bible from 1771 that belongs to one of our parishioners. It's in the back for you to see as you're leaving. And I don't know if you've heard, but we've had a number of black churches that have been burned to the ground since the shootings in Charleston. And the Episcopal Church is trying to take up an offering to rebuild these churches. So next Sunday, I'm going to send around a special basket. So get ready. It's the Rebuild the Church Fund. We want to build them back quickly and show that violence doesn't have the last word. And last but not least, I hear we have a 91-year-old around. Where is she? There she is. Doris, can you come forward so people can see you? Doris Hambrecht is 91, and since we have a vow, we celebrate everybody 90 and over. We have cake after church. There she is. And here is your offering sentence from 1776. He that soweth little shall reap little, and he that soweth plenteously shall reap plenteously. Let every man do according as he is disposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that they all that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to direct and dispose the hearts of all Christian rulers, and especially the rulers and governors of these states, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other pastors, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of the favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom. By the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.